WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Heidi Moore of The Guardian, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. So 2012 was a big year for elections on both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border. Yesterday, Mexican President-elect Enrique Peña Nieto met with President Obama ahead of taking office on Saturday. Both leaders pledged to work together on the perennial issues of interest, trade, immigration, the drug war. But this year is different. Mexico's economy just surpassed Brazil's as the largest in Latin America. There's pressure from the Hispanic vote that might mean immigration reform is likely, and voters in two U.S. states decided to legalize marijuana. Joining me now to talk about what's different and what's ahead for U.S.-Mexico relations in Obama's second term is Shannon O'Neill. She's a senior fellow of Latin American Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations and author of the forthcoming book, Two Nations Indivisible, Mexico, the United States, and the Road Ahead. Welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Heidi. Nice to be with you today.
So, Shannon, could you give us a very brief Cliff's Notes version on Enrique Peña Nieto? Who is this new president-elect of Mexico?
Enrique Peña Nieto comes from the old political party, and he has been, up until fairly recently, a year ago, the governor of the state of Mexico, which is the largest state within Mexico. So he's well-regarded within his party. He's quite young. He's quite charismatic. But he has the full support of the PRI, of this political party, and that really helped him get into office when he was elected last July.
And so ahead of his visit, he wrote an opinion piece in the Washington Post, and he was pretty gung-ho about trade and the economy as the central issues for discussion with President Obama, above immigration or even the drug war. Did that come through in yesterday's meeting?
That is what he came and his team came up to really talk about. We saw over the last administration, President Calderon, who will be stepping down on Saturday as Peña Nieto steps up, we saw a real focus on security. And that will obviously continue to be on the agenda. It's something Obama and Peña Nieto talked about yesterday. But the Mexicans, Peña Nieto's team, came yesterday to put back on the table or prioritize again the economic ties, both as being important for Mexico, but also being important for the United States. So that is something his government has signaled that they will make one of the main priorities as we go forward in the bilateral relationship.
Mm-hmm. And we have time for calls from listeners with ties to Mexico right now, and I know you're out there. What are you hoping for from the next chapter of U.S.-Mexico relations? Give us a call. We're at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And if you have any questions for our guest, she's Shannon O'Neill of the Council on Foreign Relations. You can leave a comment at WNYC.org and click on the Brian Lehrer Show. So, Shannon, trade is almost always a subject of discussion when the president meets with foreign leaders. But this time with Mexico is different, isn't it? This isn't the same Mexican economy.
It isn't. What's interesting is the Mexican economy since NAFTA, really, since the early 1990s, has transformed. It's gone from one of the most closed economies around in the 1980s to one of the most open and competitive in the world. And in fact, in terms of the trade, that as its importance in the Mexican economy, it's more important than, say, in the United States. It's even more important than China, which we think of as a big trade-oriented economy. So it's incredibly important. What we've also seen in Mexico in the last 15 or so years is the rise of a middle class. We usually think about Mexico as a country of have and have-nots, you know, the richest man in the world and some of the poorest people. But what we've seen is the expansion of this middle in Mexico. So families and people who own their own cars, perhaps their own homes, they have the disposable income to buy some little luxuries, to buy a washing machine, a blender, a TV, those sorts of things. And that's really transforming Mexico. But it's also transforming the relationship, the economic relationship with the United States. And Mexico has become our number two export market, just slightly below Canada. So in terms of U.S. workers and the types of things we produce, Mexico is one of the main places we send goods. So it's actually vitally important for our own economic growth that Mexico is doing well.
Yeah, and we see that in our everyday lives. We have a caller, Jose, from Phoenix, Arizona, who has seen the Mexico trade relationship in his own life. Jose, are you there?
Yes, it's been a practical disaster for both sides, the NAFTA trade deal that was carried out by Clinton. It helped corporate America and it helped the big conglomerates in Mexico. What they did in turn was they took away land from poor Mexicans who used to subsist on these farming as their primary income, and they have now turned into drug dealing. And this drug chaos that's going on in Mexico has been detrimental across the board throughout the society with rising crime rate. So this so-called middle-class revival in Mexico is not really true if you look at the whole picture. And it's been a total disaster, and we should go back to the old system where both markets are protected.
Shannon, what do you think?
Well, you know, there are many views about NAFTA, and there are many in any sorts of trade deal. There are winners and losers. And one that's pointed to often, as Jose brings up here, is the rural folks and those who lived on subsistence farming. And what we have seen in Mexico over the last almost 20 years is a decline in those living in rural areas, living off of farming, by about 2 million people. Part of that is NAFTA, but actually part of that is urbanization. And you look at other economies, emerging markets, and well as our own history in the United States, you look at what happens when you develop, when you move up the per capita income scale, more and more people move to the cities, more and more people move out of subsistence farming. So how much of the shift out of the agricultural sector into manufacturing, services, and other types of professions is due to NAFTA, and how much is due to actually Mexico growing and changing its economic structure is something that, you know, even the best economists dispute and discuss. But overall, Mexico still has many millions of people who are poor. There's no question about that. But when you look at statistics, whether it's from the Mexican government itself, from the World Bank, from other multilateral organizations, we have seen a growth in this middle. That is something that has happened. Not everyone has benefited from that, to be sure. There are many people who still would need to see the benefits of that. So there's much to do in Mexico, but it is a fundamentally different place than it was, say, 20 years ago.
Right. And, well, part of that also, unfortunately, is the drug war. You wrote an op-ed piece for USA Today about this visit to the White House, and it ran with the headline, "Mexico isn't a gangland gun battle." What do you mean by that?
Mexico has seen a significant increase in its security problem, much of it led by drugs. And this has been an incredibly, it's probably the biggest challenge Mexico faces today. We've seen at least 60,000 people killed under President Calderon's term. So this is a huge problem for Mexico. But what I was getting at in the op-ed is this is not the only reality in Mexico. Yes, security is a big deal, and many, many communities face it on a day-to-day basis. But not every community, and it's not the only story there. And so these other stories, these other changes that are happening in Mexico, not just the deterioration of the security situation, but the growth in the economy and the growth of the manufacturing sector, the service sector, this real transformation is another story that's happening in parallel to this more difficult one that we hear much more about in the news.
Mm-hmm. And with Mexico's economic growth that you were just talking about, immigration to the U.S. has dropped. Some say it's even at net zero right now, which is really remarkable. And more people are finding opportunities in Mexico. They're not feeling the pressure to cross the border to find work here. Others are going back home. What has Peña Nieto said about that? The current president, Felipe Calderón, as you said, has been known to be critical of Congress on immigration reform. So how does Peña Nieto compare?
Well, he did, when talking with President Obama yesterday, he talked about immigration and saying Mexico would like to be part of the solution, that it's something they care about and they'd like for change here and they'd like to be part of the process. Now, what that actually means, how Mexico can be involved in a policy issue that in the United States we see as a domestic policy issue, not a foreign policy issue, that is much vaguer and remains to be seen. But in part, when we think about immigration reform in the United States, many people have been talking about it because of the Latino vote, which is predominantly Mexican-American, going to the Democrats, to that being a new demographic that really helped push Obama over the edge back in November. Many people are talking about immigration reform, and this is an important issue for Mexico. it may be easier to pass because of what you just mentioned, the fact that immigration between two countries is now really a net zero. We aren't seeing these huge flows that we saw in the 1990s or early 2000s. But it's something that if it happens, which will really be about our domestic politics, it will ease some of the tensions in the bilateral relationship we have with Mexico.
Right. And I want to open it up to listeners again. If you have some thoughts about the Mexico-U.S. relationship and immigration reform, the drug war, join our conversation. We're at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. So, Shannon, to get back to that drug war, which is always kind of a center of the discussions, and you know, we've touched upon it several times. The Mexican president, Felipe Calderon, he's known for using the Mexican military to combat the drug cartels. As you mentioned, 60,000 deaths in Mexico in the 6 years of his term in office. And here he is, here's the president-elect, Peña Nieto, speaking with PBS in July on the drug war.
It is very clear that after several years of this fight on drug trafficking, we have more drug consumption and drug use and drug trafficking. That means that we're not moving in the right direction. Things are not working. And I'm not saying that we should legalize. It's exactly the opposite. I'm against legalization, but with a debate where countries in the hemisphere, and especially the U.S., should participate in this broad debate to redefine the way in which we fight drug trafficking.
So Peña Nieto has pledged to continue Calderon's efforts against the drug war, but it sounds like he's looking to redefine the strategy. What does that mean? And did this come up yesterday with President Obama?
You know, he has been talking in the campaign and then in this transition period up until he takes office on Saturday. He has shifted the rhetoric from Calderon's, which focused on a war on drug trafficking, to reducing violence in Mexico. Now, some of the things you do to fight drugs and to fight violence or reduce violence are the same. So things like professionalizing your police forces or strengthening and improving your court system, being able to prosecute the guilty but free the innocent. Those two things work for both strategies, whether it's drug traffickers or reducing violence overall. But other things are quite different or somewhat different, and particularly it's prioritizing. So for Peña Nieto with the federal police or even state and local police, do you concentrate your resources on kingpins, drug kingpins, or do you concentrate them on people who extort local businesses or kidnap people in the community or rob cars or assault people? And those are different focuses for your law enforcement agencies. And so it has yet to be seen what he will do, but I can imagine we may see a bit of a shift because it's those day-to-day crimes that affect people in Mexico. It's on the ground more than often the transit of drugs northward up to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear from Zach in Somerset, New Jersey on this. Zach?
Yeah, hi. It seems like most of the violence that is taking place in both Mexico and along the border states in the southwestern U.S. is a direct result of the drug war and is a direct result of the fact that many narcotics in the United States, cocaine, heroin, marijuana, are still illegal in the United States. So what are your thoughts on the real possibility of the president-elect of Mexico and President Obama agreeing on ending the drug war or at least getting close to that?
What do you think?
Well, we've seen two states in the United States by referendum legalize marijuana. Now, where that actually leads us is still up in question because the federal law still prohibits it and the federal government has yet to respond. But what's interesting when you think about drug violence in particular, there are more drugs in the United States and arguably more guns in the United States, but and more money in the drug trade in the United States because at the retail level is where the money is. But we have much less violence here in the United States. So even if we don't talk about legalizing cocaine and heroin and even marijuana or other types of drugs, there is a way, which we've learned the hard way in the United States over generations, to control the violence associated with illegal substances. And I think this is the path that Mexico is struggling with, but one that it will have to move along if it wants to return or have a sustainable rule of law in its country. How do you have those substances flowing around your nation, but make sure that the violence is reduced, which is something we've been fairly successful doing in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And there are also other bargaining points that the president wants to bring up with President-elect Peña Nieto of Mexico. The New York Times quoted a senior Obama administration official saying, There were reforms the U.S. was looking for from Mexico, from judicial reforms to dealing more openly with corruption and human rights abuses. Has Peña Nieto offered any hints for how all of that will go?
You know, he actually, they just announced today his party, the PRI, along with the other two main parties, the PAN, which is the outgoing president's party, as well as the PRD, which is on the left. They just announced today a pact to move forward, things that should be on the policy agenda or the political agenda for the next Congress, for the next administration. And some of these issues, things like corruption, things like security, are on there. So now the devil is always in the details in terms of politicians from different parties agreeing on how you address these issues and what the best policies are. But we have seen the three parties come together, negotiate that what is on the agenda and what is a common agenda for Mexico. And so many of the concerns we have in the United States or that we've been working with Mexico actually in our relationship with them, things like corruption, things like security, things like judicial reform, are part of that package or that agreement to at least put them on the table between all of the political parties.
And we'll have to leave it there with Shannon O'Neill. She's a senior fellow of Latin American Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations and author of the forthcoming book, Two Nations Indivisible, Mexico, the United States, and the Road Ahead. Shannon, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And coming up next, are energy drinks considered food or drugs?